back home again. And I'm looking forward to next week being able to unpack my suitcase. I have a most blessed ministry. I'm just so thankful for it. And I'll tell you a little bit about that tonight if you want to come back, about what the Lord has given me the privilege of doing and the Lord's blessings on this. I would like to start off with reading the scripture for today. It's Romans 11, 33 to 36. And I want to ask you not to look at your Bibles. We're going to have an experience like it was in the New Testament. And one of the things that I do where I go other places, especially in Papua New Guinea, I teach people how to read the Bible in a public place. Because you realize when they had the New Testament written, they did not have a book to open and read. So now just think of listening, okay? Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Notice that my throat's a little bit on the horse side this morning. But it's great to be back and to share and to the Lord's blessing. I hope I don't repeat myself too much, but some of you may not have heard, but when Shirley passed away, it'd be 5 years ago this month, I was sort of depressed. And I wrote in a journal. I don't keep a journal. I didn't keep a journal, but I started keeping one towards the end of the month in early February. And I remember writing in there, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Psalm 55, 11b. And I remember the first part of that year I was sort of low, as you would expect, losing the person I'd lived with for 42 years, 1 month, and 23 days. But anyway, during that early part of that year, I remember I went to Dallas, where a lot of our people, one of our main training centers, and we had a session there with my friends from Papua New Guinea. I remember they asked me to go and teach a course on literacy in Africa. And I said, well, that's not my, I'm a translator, a linguist, but that's not my area. I mean, I've done something in it. But they said, well, it's in a seminary. It's an evangelical seminary, and they need someone that has a doctor's degree. Well, I said, mine's not in literacy. It's in something else. That doesn't make any difference. As long as you've got that piece of paper, you can teach an MA student. So I said, well, if you can't find anyone else, I will go. That's in July. In June, they didn't have anyone. So I said, okay, I'll go teach it. And that is where the joy came back. It was a very academic course and all this, it was master's degree level. And so they had these research things from the United Nations. And I don't know, I wasn't interested in that. So I just said, okay, I'm going to change. By the way, this is an interterm course. One semester's work in 2 weeks. Now, any of you who've taught at graduate school level, 3 hours a day I was teaching graduate students for 2 weeks. And I said, this is too academic. I'm going to make it practical. So I showed them how to make books and how to write their alphabet, how to teach. But that's where the joy came back. And I remember I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning getting things ready for the next day. But I think what happened is the Lord used that to take my mind off myself. And it's where the joy came, and it's been there ever since. I've just had, I can say in the last 5 years I had such great joy in my life. And I did a study of joy. With a fellow in Papua New Guinea who was, we get together on Saturday mornings. And one Saturday morning we decided, okay, let's just study joy all the way through the Bible. It's quite an interesting thing. Maybe I'll share it with you sometime. But today, I thought I would like to, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Spirit. I'm going to start off about assessment and testing. Now, I've gotten into this since I've gotten into literacy. And we've got some teachers here we know about testing. But assessment. Now, we're all going to be evaluated. You know, there's the judgment day coming. There's a judgment day coming, and it's going to be it's one way or the other. There's going to be one time in eternity when we're going to be evaluated. We're going to be tested. We're going to be assessed. It's one way or the other. And that's often the way it is. I remember when I was in school, you know, you'd get 6 weeks exams, and you'd get a test, and you'd get a grade, and that sort of thing. But assessment is different, the kind I'm talking about. I've just learned this. Do you remember when you were in first grade? I got to thinking about this. Go back to first grade. You know, the teacher did, I don't know if they even give us an exam in first grade. I don't think you do. But I remembered now, I go back to, oh yeah, we had these workbooks, but the teacher would be looking at you every day. She couldn't wait until 6 weeks was over and say, oh, he doesn't know how to write, or he doesn't know how to read or something. You do it day by day. And that's one of the things I'm finding as I go into other countries. Many of the education systems are test-oriented. They're test-oriented. And so they'll go and they'll teach, and then they'll give you an exam, and if you make it, you make it. If you don't, that's your tough luck. But we're saying, no, you don't. That's not the way you do it. I'm training teachers to say you assess, you evaluate day by day. And if a student is not learning, you go back and you give them the help that they need, or you get a partner to come along with them. And that's what I think. Maybe this may be the first of you. It might be a good time is let's do some assessment. Where are we in the area of our spirit? And that we don't make it say, okay, well, next year, at the end of the year, I'm going to make another. Let's sort of do it as we go along. See where we can be improving, allowing the Spirit to improve us. So, and I would like to encourage you to do this, Rick. I know a lot of you are, and I'm so pleased. Now, I look at this church, and you know, we're not a huge mega church, but I think, and I may have said this before too, but I'm there's a lot of influence, a lot of ministry for the kingdom from here. I think, you know, the pastor, what he's doing with his counseling, this reaching out a large area. Gary Storm's going over into Europe. I'm going around to different places. Others work ministering. So the numbers are not important, but I think the impact God can use us for the kingdom, and I'm very pleased with what this small little church is doing. And so let's look. I'm very pleased. And I was here Wednesday night. Jack was reading the scriptures and getting things from it. That's what I like to see. And I trust you're all doing this. You're reading the scriptures and you're learning from them day by day. And that's a daily part of your life. And that's what we want to see. Not that we're just coming for Sunday morning and we're getting our batteries recharged for the next week and then the next week we come back. But day by day, we're eating and participating. Now, people say, what is it? Fools barge in where angels fear to tread. Well, that's the way I am. I have so many things I want to share. I'm going to try to do probably too much, but I'll maybe run through it. But I want to look at three things of the Spirit today that can help us assess. The fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and commands of the Spirit, which come from the Scriptures. And I'd like to look at these. I've been thinking a little bit about them. And I went to this Bible class this morning with Dave, and they've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And I thought, well, maybe what I'm doing is going to be redundant for some people. But one of the things about the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to read them. We'll go through. We're not going to go into detail. We don't have time for that. But I think it's sort of like something that we can do as a checklist. And I don't think we want to become too introspective, but a checklist. Now, when we assess students, or when you learn a foreign language, there are certain things that the person's going to assess. Is this person learning this language? I had to be assessed. Surely had to be assessed. Did we speak the language? And there are things they look for. So they got a list there. How do they pronounce? They sound like a native speaker. Can they speak fluently? Can they speak freely without pausing and hesitating? You know, after a couple of years, you should be able to at least do a little bit of that. They can't check someone that doesn't know the language. They can't really check our vocabulary and stuff, but they can see whether we're getting basics, getting our ideas across. But one of the things they say, the Foreign Service says, this is a person really knows the language when they can joke and understand jokes. And it's true. I never got to the place where I could understand jokes in Angkor. Never. Now, Tok Pisin, I learned Tok Pisin, which is the trade language of Papua New Guinea, and I can understand some of the jokes, but still I don't understand all of them. But when you can joke, because you really know the language, you really know the culture, and you can laugh. But I never got to the Angkors. I can understand. I was lost because there's so many things that I didn't understand. We've got our friends back here, Patan and Sandy from India, and they may have run into the same situation learning English. But anyway, there are certain things. And so if you're being assessed, they'll go down and they'll check off where you are. And I would have teachers do the same thing. We'll say, well, check them. Are they making this letter proper? And this is, I'm basically teaching for kindergarten, grade one. Are they making that letter properly? Can they read? Can they understand that letter? Can they spell? Can they read those words? Can they make sentences? Those are sort of things. Now, what about, let's look at this. Now, one of the things about the fruit of the Spirit, several things. I'm going to turn to them and read them. The fruit of the Spirit are for everyone. The fruit of the Spirit is for all of us. God, I like this song, God left his Spirit to do his work. Christ went back to glory, but he left his Spirit to do his work. And that Spirit is with, and it's for all of us. So the fruit of the Spirit, you can say, well, I don't have a gift. No. The fruit of the Spirit is for all of us. And if we allow God's Spirit to control our lives, then we're going to have that. Now, we may have different degrees, and there are areas. And I appreciated David said this morning, sometimes these areas, where we find we're weak, that is the place where we really have to depend on the Lord. And maybe you can think of this. Go through these and think of some of the areas where you're weak and say, well, maybe this year I really need to ask the Lord to help me by his Spirit to become more like that. And the other thing is all of them. So it's for all of us, to all. It's for all of us. It's for everyone here. And he wants us to all have all of them, all of us to have all the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't want us to not have love or some of them. All the fruits of the Spirit are for all of us and all of them. Okay, I'm going to read them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, love, I like that it starts off with love. That is the most important thing. God is love, it says in the New King John, 1 John. Love is there. And if we have God's Spirit and he is working in us, we're going to have love. And that should be the characteristics. I think I heard about someone who was, now this fellow is a very, very great scholar. He is the head of the Genome Project. Do any of you know this, where they were taking all the genomes and doing it? This guy's an evangelical Christian. He used to be an atheist. Forgotten what his name is. But he was an atheist. His parents were still atheists, died atheists, I guess. But he kept running into these Christians. And he wanted to see what makes them tick. And so he started going to the church. And I think it was through C.S. Lewis. This fellow became a Christian. Well, it was the love. He saw the love of these people. And it joined. Joy. Now, joy is something you can't just work them up. It's not something like, okay, I'm going to have joy today, or I'm going to have love today. These are something that the Spirit gives. And joy, and I mean, I felt, joy is something that you can have even in difficult times. And I like to look at the picture. I'll give you some homey illustrations. Okay, I'm traveling. When I say unpack my suitcase, I live out of a suitcase 9 months out of the year. So when I get back to Florida a week from tomorrow, I'm going to unpack my suitcase. And it'll be there for 3 months. And then April, I'll take off again. But when I'm home in Florida, Dan has, they've got all these fruit trees, and they've got these grapevines. And I love to work with them, but I never eat any of the stuff because it comes ripe while I'm gone. But it's a lot of work. But the grapevine, he has six grapevines, and there's two, they're on trellises, two wires going all the way down. And it takes me about half an hour to do 1/12 of it, so figure 6 hours just to prune them. And then after I prune them, we have to mulch them. I weed them. I take a hoe and get all the weeds out, and I mulch them so that, you know, it'll have some nutrients, and it'll not dry out too much. And we do the same thing with apple trees. You got to prune them, the pears, the plums. All those trees have to be pruned. But I do not make it bear fruit. It's the sap, and it just grows by itself. And that, to me, is a good picture of the Holy Spirit, is that I need to do, we need to cultivate ourselves. We need to be into the Word. We need to be saying, God, this is something that I need to prune off of my life. But it's the Holy Spirit that makes that happen. So the joy, the love, the peace, the patience, these are all things that are produced like the sap in the grapevines or in the apple trees. The Holy Spirit is that sap. And then, you know, they get these fruit. You know, I don't get to enjoy them, but they're the fruit. And they have persimmons, and I think they freeze a few of those, and I'll have those when I go back because they're almost like ice cream. But that's a good picture, I feel, of the Holy Spirit. We need to be tending. We need to be into the Word of God. We need to be praying. We need to say, oh, this needs to be cut off. But it needs to be something that we do. And then God's Spirit is going to produce that. And I feel that, I think that Christians of all, you know, people say, hey, what love these people have. What joy they have. What peace. I mean, peace in the situation. All the things are falling apart around the world, but we can have peace. Not as the world has peace, but God gives us peace. And but that's what I want. And I think these are the things that are going to attract people to us. Now, I've seen some of these apples for a couple of years when Shirley was really bad, the last 2 years. I was there when these apples, the kids would go out there and just get... Those are attractive, and you go out and eat them. Grapes the same. Oh man, eat all the grapes you want. Well, that's the way I think the fruit of the Spirit is. It's going to attract people to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God. Peace, patience. Now, I think that's one of the areas that I've marked here. One thing I want to work on is I'm generally patient, but every so often I get frustrated and I'll fly off a handle. Not often, but sometimes. Well, patience, just all the time. Whatever the situation is, to be patient. Kindness, we talked about that this morning. And a lot of these things, not all of them, but a lot of these fruits, I think, are where we are not self-oriented, but we're oriented towards others. And we want to be thinking of helping others. We want to be doing for others. So we're off of ourselves and onto others. And so we see a need. Now, I think one of the reasons I get joy is when I go to these other places and teach, these kids are desperate. I mean, I wish I could take you, just take you into Kibera slum in Nairobi, the second largest slum in Africa. Soweto is the largest. 1.25 million people. And they're just in cramped little houses. The church, these schools meet in churches. They have church on there on Sunday. During the week, they've got classes meeting in them. But to be able to show love, the love of Christ to people like this. 40% of people have AIDS. I'm getting into my tonight sentence. 40% have AIDS. A lot of AIDS orphans. Okay? This is an opportunity we have, and I'm very, very pleased to see that the Christian church is very, very active in trying to reach these children for Christ. So kindness. We're thinking of these. What is a kind thing to do? And to me, it's not a statistic. It's not saying, well, you know, 40% of the people have AIDS. No, we need to go in. We need to be in there helping serve Christ as individuals, being kind, having goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness is just being there consistent day in, day out, doing what the Lord wants, depending on the Lord. And that's what he wants. Gentleness. I don't know if I'm looked at as gentle. I think sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not, according to who I'm dealing with. But I think God wants gentleness all the time. Is that we are gentle, we're easy with people. Now, we have, some of us people who believe in the Bible have a bad reputation in the world, and I think we deserve it. I don't know if you've seen this video, I don't know where I saw it, video, but there's some man down in the South, he has a whip. This is on YouTube, I don't know where he got it. He has a whip for his children. And this is showing, no, this is going on YouTube, this is going all over the world. This guy has, and if they don't obey, you know, dang, dang, dang. Now I thought, that's not gentleness, that's not kindness. But this is looked at as someone who believes the Bible. Then they paint all of us, all you people are all harsh and that type of thing. No, we need to be, I think, reflecting the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I think we need to train our children. We need to discipline them, but I don't think we need to be having a whip. All right. Okay. So with the fruit of the Spirit, there are things that come from us by the power of the Spirit. They're a grace of God. I like the two also. It's God's grace that we have these things. So if I have joy, it's not because of myself. It's nothing I can boast about. There's no law against them. There's no law against them, it says in Galatians 5. There's no law against love, joy, peace. That's great. We're in the Spirit. But it's not something we can boast about either, because it doesn't come from us. It comes from God's Spirit. So he gets the glory for it. Okay, the second thing I'd like to look at are the gifts of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is for everyone. All of the fruit, for everyone. But the gifts of the Spirit are not for everyone. That is, we each have given, God has given us a gift by the Spirit. And it says in the Christ, when he went into heaven, he gave out gifts, and he gives gifts to everyone. But the gift is not for yourself. Now, I like to look at there are three different kinds. There are the gifts of 1 Corinthians, and there are certain churches that will focus on those. And those, I think, are sort of the individual, many times they're individual gifts. They're fantastic, ecstatic, that sort of thing, individual gifts. But it's interesting to me. Do you notice that this book, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, written for the people at Corinth, and you realize that Corinth was sort of what I call a sailor town. It was a wild, woolly place. They had this big temple of Aphrodite up on top. And Aphrodite was the goddess of love, and they had temple prostitutes. And it seemed to me like this is a town of, oh, they were all for excitement, much like when you turn on TV today, you see all this excitement and things going around. And I think those people are focusing on these gifts and certain gifts that God had given, but they were not. And Paul, by the way, First Corinthian church had a lot of problems. You read First Corinthians, it seemed like one problem after another. But focusing on those individual gifts. And a lot of it was sort of like, me, I've got this gift, and I like this gift. And Paul downplayed them. Paul downplayed those gifts. Then you've got the gifts in Ephesians. You can look at the Ephesians 4. And in Ephesians 4, it's there. Paul was there for a time, and he did a lot of work at Ephesus. You read, I mean, Ephesus, I love this. You read, was it Acts 21? And Paul called the Ephesian elders down, and he talked to them, and then they cried, and he left. So Paul was there for a long time. And there, it was more the gifts of the leadership of the church. So each situation, it's different. Now, I like the ones in Romans as well, and I think they're often sort of ignored, and I'm going to read those because the gifts, but these are different. Man, I hear you're writing. Let's say you're writing to Washington, D.C. Well, now, you're going to maybe say different than if you're writing a book to a church in a wild and woolly, in Las Vegas, let's say. And the needs of Las Vegas are quite different from ones in Washington, D.C. And maybe Ephesians 4 is more like the church in, let's say, Wheaton, or a place where you got a very strong evangelical community, or Colorado Springs, or where else have you got strong evangelical community. Now let's go to this Romans chapter 12. And I like this. These are more practical, how do I say it, down. It's not the leadership of the church. Now some of it is, but it's say like Ephesians is so concentrated on leadership of the church. Well, look at Romans. I'm going to read that. Okay. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You belong to everyone here. Your gift is not just you. It's something you enjoy. You belong to all the others. I like that. We're all a part. Okay. We have different gifts according to the grace given to me, to us. And I like this. There's several times Paul talks about the gifts are from the grace of God, just like the fruit of the Spirit itself is from the grace of God. So if you have a gift, if God has given you a gift, that's not something to boast about, because it's God's grace that you have that. And so you look at all the gifts, whether it's a gift of being a pastor, teacher, or an apostle, whatever they had, it was of God's grace. But listen to this. Now, again, I'm learning something from Jack. Jack likes history, so do I, so does my son, and so does my son-in-law. We're all interested in history. When you went to school, the history of all Abraham, Lincoln, and Washington, all these big names, but a lot of history that's being written these days is just about common people. What about the common people? And to me, that's very interesting. I feel these are common people gifts. We have different gifts according to grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Okay, that's one that's for the leadership of the church. Look at it. If it is serving, let him serve. Well, that's not a position in the church. We can all do that. Now, God gives some of you gifts. Now, by the way, the gifts are not for everyone. Everyone has a gift. I think every person in the church has a gift, but not like the fruit. You don't all have them. All of you don't have all the fruits, or all the gifts. All of you can have all the fruits, but the gifts are for certain individuals. But we all belong to each other, so it's for all of us, but we all don't have them. So I like this holistic idea. God is concerned about the whole church. And so when he gives us a gift, it is for that. And so I like this serving. Let him serve. Now, there's scriptures. I like one of my favorite verses is, I think it's Mark 10:45. Christ, the greatest among you is the one that serves the most. And I think that's great. The more you can serve, the more important you are. Now, it says in the world's eyes, the one that's on boss, you know, the CEO, the one that tells everyone else what to do, and they'll have these guys that come in, and remember, there's a book a few years ago, I didn't read it, But like the two-minute executive, you know, your boss comes in 2 minutes, he straightens you out, and that's it. That's not the way. We're to be serving. We're to be have the attitude of serving, not having telling people what to do. But how can I serve you? Okay, if it is teaching, let him teach. So some of you have the gift of teaching. And I think it's a wonderful gift. So if you have the gift of teaching, teach. And it's so important. You learn, like this morning, I think Dave's been doing a good job teaching. I learn things. By the way, maybe I'll say a little bit about this tonight, but we should be learning all of our life. Don't ever feel that you've arrived and that you don't need to be learning. I'm always learning. I go somewhere, I learn. I learned something this morning. Everywhere you go. By the way, I have a funny, I stayed with a fellow out in San Diego. And he's about 53 years old. He says, I learned how to tie my shoes this year. And he said, an architect showed me how to tie my shoes so they don't keep coming. I was walking with him, and my shoes were coming apart. I walk, and my shoes are coming tight. And he showed me how to do it. You tie it like a square. I have to consciously do it every time. But my shoes don't come untied anymore. So I thought, well, here I'm 73, and I've learned how to tie my shoes. But we should always be learning. That's just sort of funny. But always be learning. And so that's why we have teachers, because we always need to be learning. And to be a teacher is a real, real privilege.